राधे
जगद्गुरु कृपालु परिषद प्रेजेंटिंग चेंज योर थॉट्स चेंज योर लाइफ पॉडकास्ट फॉर अ बेटर एग्जिस्टेंस।
देयर इज अ क्वेश्चन इन द नारद भक्ति दर्शन नारद भक्ति सूत्र कास्तरति मायाम मीनिंग हु इज एबल टू ट्रांसेंड द ओशन ऑफ मटेरियल एग्जिस्टेंस। Naraji himself provides the answer in the Narad Bhakti Sutra. He says, Yas sangans tyajati, one who abandons all worldly attachments. But how can these attachments be abandoned? There seems to be no easy answer to this question. So let us take a look. To solve the problem of removing the mind from material attachments, some use the method of Hatha Yoga, the doctrine of controlling the senses and mind by incessant and stern or harsh practices. Let me give you some examples. There was a disciple of Socrates. Socrates, as you know, was the first moral Greek philosopher. There was a disciple of Socrates by the name of Diogenes. Once he sat before an idol of God and began to say again and again, O idol, give me some bread. O idol, give me some bread. Another philosopher was quite amused watching this amazing event all day long. So in the evening, he could no longer restrain himself. He asked Diogenes, he said, you are a learned and competent fellow. I'm surprised to see you behaving like this. Do you really expect this idol to provide you with food? Diogenes replied, no. I know that this inert idol cannot give me any food. But you see, I'm just practicing forbearance. I'm just practicing tolerance. So when I go out to beg for alms, I am not disappointed. Of course, forbearance is also one of the virtues that a devotee must develop, does develop automatically through the practice of devotion. And to give you another example, Swami Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa, the great master, also practiced a similar method. He used to take a lump of clay in one hand and a coin, a rupee, in the other, repeating continuously, Taka Mati, Taka Mati, Taka Mati. Taka means rupee or money, and Mati means dirt or dust. He used to say that I'm practicing this way to convince myself that money and dust or dirt are of equal importance. But you see, even this attempt to control the mind is not very effective. Why? Since it fails to create the feeling of natural disinclination or disinterest or detachment from the mundane world. And not only that, the slightest negligence or carelessness can ruin the entire practice. So what is the proper way of controlling the mind? Lord Krishna reveals in the Gita, Asanshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham jalam abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. 635, as I quoted previously. He said that granted that the mind is fickle, it is as difficult to control, extremely difficult to control, yet it can be controlled by constant practice of natural detachment. So what is natural detachment? It is creating a natural feeling of detachment instead of a forced control of passions and desires. So let us understand what natural detachment is. You see, the opposite of detachment is attachment. The word attachment consists of two things, two elements, affection and malice, love and hatred. So detachment is that state of the mind when the mind becomes completely bereft, completely devoid of both these feelings, affection as well as malice. You see, generally we relate affection or affinity to attachment, whereas we consider enmity or malice as being only ill will, where there's no trace of attachment. But this is not so. The precise meaning of the word attachment is the unity of the mind with the person or an object. For instance, when we love someone, our mind becomes constantly engrossed in the thoughts of that person. And the same is true for enmity or hatred. When we have strong feelings of hatred towards someone, our mind becomes very much attached to that person. Let me clarify this point. Suppose a mother is greatly attached to her son, which is quite natural. She feels that she can't live without him all day long. Her mind is constantly engrossed in the thoughts of her son. She's continuously thinking about the way he talks, the way he plays, the way he smiles, the way he walks, and so on. So this is an example of extreme love. And what happens in hostility or enmity? There also, the mind remains constantly imbued with the thoughts of the enemy, with his defects, with his unpleasant face, no matter how beautiful he or she may be. And how the way we can inflict harm upon him, and so on. So the point is that the mind is preoccupied with the person we detest, just as it is preoccupied with the person we love dearly. In reality, the mind is engaged just as much by hatred as it is by love. So what does that mean to us? It means that the personality who is thought of by the mind continuously due to any type of attachment, be it love or hatred, is bound to leave a strong impression on the mind. And if that is a worldly person, we will attain material results. And if the personality is divine, the results will also be divine. And what does Vedavyas say in this respect? The divine author of the Bhagavatam. Kamam krodham bhayam sneha maikyam sauhardam evacha nityam harau vidhato yanti tanmayatam hite. 10:29:15. He says it matters not whether you are attached to the Supreme Personality with feelings of love and devotion or with the feelings of anger, fear, or passion. The end result will be the same. You will attain the divine state at the end of this lifetime. On the other hand, if you are attached to the world with any kind of feeling, the result will be the attainment of the world and the world alone. And this attachment will only result in sorrow and suffering. Let us go into the Bhagavad. We read in the Bhagavad, the gopis, the the maidens of Braj, were the highest devotees of Lord Krishna. The condition of their heart was such that it was infused with the love for Sri Krishna, which is beautifully described by Vedavyas.
Yadohane vahanane mathano pale pap prenkhen khanar bharudito chanamar janadau gayanti chaina manurak Dhiyo Shrukanthyo Dhanya Brajastriya Urukrama Chittayana.
10th Canto, 44th Chapter, 15th Verse. Meaning that the heart of the gopis always remained saturated with exclusive love for Lord Krishna. Their mind was constantly thinking of Sri Krishna all day long. Whether they happened to be milking the cows, churning butter, cleaning the house, entertaining their children, or any other household chore. And furthermore, this extreme love was accompanied by incessant shedding of tears. Such was their love. Now, what about Kans? Let's look at Kans, who was the opposite in his relationship with Lord Krishna, that is. Kans, who was Lord Krishna's uncle as well as his greatest enemy. His only motive was to kill Sri Krishna at any cost and in any way possible. And look at the stage, look at the condition he reached due to his extreme animosity with Lord Krishna, toward Lord Krishna. The Bhagavata explains how his mind was so filled with anxiety that he could not think of anything else except for Sri Krishna. He used to throw away his food, for he saw Sri Krishna in each and every particle of the food and even the water he was served. So extreme was the preoccupation of his mind with Sri Krishna that he would even tear off his clothing and thereafter even his own flesh, for he saw Sri Krishna in each and every pore of his body. And as a result of this extreme preoccupation with Sri Krishna, Kans achieved the same stage of devotion as the gopis. His mind, like the gopis, was ever united with Sri Krishna. Consequently, he achieved the divine abode of Lord Krishna, as did the gopis.
Thank you for joining Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad podcast.